Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
James White will set behind Brady. We'll move under center. Trips to the right. Bennett to tight end line. Second and goal to go from the two. Toss sweep right for James White. Tucks it under the right arm. Cuts it upfield. Driving forward. Diving to the goal line.
It's
a touchdown. And a title for the Patriots.
I can't believe it.
They have completed the greatest comeback in Super Bowl history.
I wasn't thinking much. You know, I was thinking, you know, we just got to score. And then we scored the touchdown and it was 9. And then... Did we get the turnover? There was a lot of that happened tonight, so. And I got hit pretty hard.
Unbelievable. You want to hear some more radio? Why don't we go around the world quickly? This is a Super Bowl event. The Super Bowl is a world event. You think, well, it's just American football. No. How about a little Austria? A little Austria call on the winning touchdown.
Get in motion. White bekommt den Ball. And White gets it. It's on it.
That's how we all felt. They do the trip to London every year with the NFL. Maybe two trips now. Two games, I guess, right, Dave? And they're going
actually,
to
next year, I think they're playing more, yeah.
Yeah, BBC.
The three receivers for New England. It's a pitch to White. White's running towards the end zone. Is he in? We wait for the signal, touchdown! The New England Patriots have won Super Bowl 51, and they've come from 28-3 down to win the game in the most remarkable of circumstances. Brady and Belichick do it again. What a Super Bowl! What a performance by the New England Patriots! They've won it by a score of 34 points to 28, having come back from the dead.
And how annoying for the BBC that the New England Patriots won. I mean, come on.
Right.
Shoving it in their face. Hey, you got any Spanish for me? I'd love to hear a little Spanish.
Edelman en movimiento va por tierra. Tiene tremendo hueco. Se cierra. Touchdown! Touchdown, Pedro! Touchdown, Pedro! Nueva Inglaterra gana el Super Bowl 51.
Goal! 7:45, Dan Hampton joins us now. I said this on the air earlier today, and I think I tweeted this out last night. That comeback was so fast, and you could see the choke in the Falcons' defense so hard. I mean, I couldn't even enjoy it.
Well, good morning. I got to tell you, that was a great little potpourri of, the different – language broadcast, nation broadcast. I got to tell you, I told you last week, I was in Houston and I left Houston at 6 o'clock last night. But before the game, I was at an event right outside the stadium, and it was for the Hall of Fame, and there was 1,000 people, and there was about 200 people from Australia, 200 people from Brazil, about 100 from Britain, and about 50 from Spain. And you're exactly right. This thing has morphed into a...
It's a world game.
Oh, it's incredible. And 80% of all the fans, they were Atlanta Falcon fans. And I kept asking, why? And to the human nature, they're all, hey, we're for the underdog. And that's a great thing. But I got to tell you, folks, on Thursday last week, we had to make our picks. And one of the things that we did right before the game started was we had like a little panel discussion with Emmitt Smith and some other guys up on the stage, and they all said, who was the greatest quarterback of all time? You know, Bradshaw's won four, Montana's won four, now Tom. And anyway, they all picked different. And at the very end, I was the last one, and I said, guys, let me ask you a question. When Bradshaw, he's in the Hall of Fame, but there's 11 other Hall of Famers off that team with him. Montana's in the Hall of Fame, but there's about five or six Hall of Fame. I said, who's going in the Hall of Fame with Tom Brady?
Yeah. Nobody. Belichick. Belichick, and he doesn't have a helmet.
Edelman's going in the... No. I'm just saying, what we saw yesterday, we'll never see again. I don't know. It's a metaphor, and, not to get hokey, but... You know, hey, you never say die. You never quit. You always, you stay in there. And you know what? whether you like or hate him, and I told you last week, Tom Brady's my mother's favorite player of all time, including me. I'm telling you, it was magnificent. And, you know, hey, all we can do is hope and pray that someday we get a player like that here in Chicago.
Oh, listen, I'll take half the player because we don't have that. Hamp will break this down in greater detail with Dave Edit here coming up in a couple of seconds, but I wanted to ask you about the Hall of Famers gathering. Because it's got to be fun for you when all you guys from the Hall of Fame get together. Who'd you most enjoy seeing?
Well, obviously, over the years, there's a lot of really cool guys. And, you know, this year, for whatever reason, you know, Jim Brown came. Randy White has always been one of my favorite guys that I played in Pro Bowls with him. And you know, of course, being in Texas, he was telling me how crushed, the state of Texas was that the Cowboys got beat, you know, in the playoffs. But despite that, you know, they were able to recover in time to show up to come to the Super Bowl. But the long and short of it is, it's truly a magnificent gathering when you get all those. I mean, oh my God, Charles Haley, Joe DeLamalier, Lim Barney. I mean, legendary names and. You get to, you know, hang out and eat ribs with them. Pretty cool.
I hope they had a lot of ribs because you just said a lot of linemen's names.
Well, yeah, and you know, as we move forward, you know, obviously the NFL has went more offensively, and there's more offensive players coming in, and it's still kind of cool to hang out with a lot of those great defensive players.
No doubt about it, Dave. Randy White or Dan Hampton, who you picking in your draft?
Oh, I would take Dan Hampton hands down.
No question about it.
Because he's on the line right now.
Randy
Steve.
White was unbelievable.
He was.
I'd take Hamp every time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hamp's not listening right now.
Oh, okay.
More with Dan Hampton in just a second, and he'll try to explain what happened to the Falcons defense as well that owned the Patriots for 45 minutes and then looked like a JV team for the last 15-plus overtime.
It's disappointing. You know, obviously, I thought we did a great job of, you know, getting ourselves prepared and ready to play. We came out firing tonight, but ultimately just couldn't finish the deal. And, you know, from that standpoint, it's disappointing. I mean, close to what we wanted to accomplish, but, you know, ultimately fell short. So we're all disappointed.
You know, nice guy and had a phenomenal game. With the exception of when he really needed to close the deal and he couldn't get it done, neither could the defense. But you know what I want to hear? If I'm an Atlanta Falcon fan, this is the worst night of my life. That's what I want to hear. I want to hear Matt Ryan say, it's inexcusable. We let the fans down. We let us down. It sucked. It's disappointing. It's not the second game of the season. Dan Hampton's here. How does a defense like the Falcons literally own the Patriots for 45 minutes and then crater, were they planning the party on the field?
Well, let me go back to, you know, those comments by Matt Ryan, and I didn't know it was Matt Ryan. I thought it may have been the offensive coordinator Kyle Shanahan, who's now going to be the head coach of the 49ers. And I've told you guys for years, everybody's got different objectives, and you know, it was almost like he was real, almost, you know, happy with the way things went. Oh, well, we didn't win the game, but you know what? We scored, and I did well. Well, like I used to say, you know, an offensive coordinator scores 30 points a game. He don't really care if you win or lose. It's all about, you know, his offense. How many? And so, you know, that's kind of a telling comment that, as you said, Steve, hey, it should be, if I threw for 600 and we got beat, it's still the worst night of my life. So, you know, I don't know. I'll be honest with you. The early returns on the Patriots defense, and we knew this going in. I think they were 9th or 10th in the league, but number one and, you know, scoring defense. So they give up a lot of yards. Well, guess what? Atlanta's, you know, pretty good and number one scoring offense in football, and they exploited the Patriot defense, and they were, you know, and hey, Shea McClellan, he started the game, first play, he was hooked and spun around as, you know, the running back runs for 37 yards. So despite, you know, some of the limitations, the Patriots were able to go ahead and buckle down. And I got to tell you, their pass rush was the difference. In the third and fourth quarter, it really started to pay off. And you know, and I know, hey, you know, if Atlanta would have just run the ball a couple of times and then kicked the field goal there with 5 or 6 minutes left in the game, it would have been over. But again, everybody, you know, wants to be the hero. Everybody wants to be, you know, Ric Flair. And they're throwing the ball. They get a sack. Then they get a holding call. And then they're out of field goal, and which gave the Patriots a chance to get back in it. But all I can tell you was, from what I saw, you know, it wasn't a tell of two halves. It was a tell of three quarters and one quarter. And you got, again, you got to go back and just, you know, the old mantra of it's never over. And even though you think the fat lady's at home with the pizza, yeah, well, guess what? It ain't over with Tom Brady, and he's got the football.
Ross Cochran texted me last night. He goes, Pete Carroll calling the players? You know, why aren't the Falcons running the ball? You know, because it stood out hugely. Hugely, bigly, really, Dave.
Yes, it did. And you know what? Another number that stands out. I mean, this is unbelievable. I did the math on this. After from the end of the third quarter on, time of possession, which I know can be sort of a misleading number sometimes, the New England Patriots had the ball for 14 minutes and 9 seconds. Atlanta had it for 4 minutes and 49 seconds.
No kidding.
They couldn't make a first down. They turned it over on the strip sack by Hightower. And, I mean, it was just like watching a different team out there in the fourth quarter. That was unbelievable.
It truly was. And, you know, I got to tell you, again, the folks of Houston, they really did a great job putting on, you know, their best face, and the city was delightful, and all things considered. But, you know, even though, you know, the one I played in long ago, it was kind of decided by the end of the first quarter. I don't know how you can top what we saw last night. And you know what? Hey. Hooray for the Falcons. And, you know, they showed they deserved to be there. They were, you know, they were a very good football team. All things, but I'm still blown away with, and you know, you go back and you hear all this stuff, you know, and all football coaches across the land, across the world, they'll never, ever let this one go, because being down 25 points, going into the fourth quarter, essentially, it's one for the record books. It's just truly, and you know, I got to tell you, you know, obviously there was, like I said, 80% of I think America was pulling for the Falcons.
Right.
Yeah, the Falcons were seeking, you know, a certain respect. They were seeking, you know, a confirmation. But boy, the New England Patriots, they were seeking history, and they found it.
And they got it done.
You know, I have to say, I was really impressed, Hamp, by what Dan Quinn has done as the coach of the Falcons. And you know, I think they're going to be good.
Oh, yeah.
They may not. But this guy now, 2 years ago, he's coaching with the Seahawks. He's their defensive coordinator when Malcolm Butler makes the play at the goal line,
yep,
where the Seahawks are about to win the game.
Right.
And then he's part of this last night.
Yeah, Dan Quinn may have a twitch for some time to come.
I was going to say, wait, how do you get over that? Oh, my gosh.
Unbelievable. Hamp, love you. Great as always, and we will bother you soon.
Hey, one last thing. I just want to tell you, you know, thank you for having me on and our great friends at Chevy. But there, everywhere I went, all the NFL, the Hall of Fame, it was a fleet of Chevy Tahoes and Suburbans all throughout Houston. It was beautiful. It was the best thing I saw all weekend.
You bet, buddy. 6 years running, and the streak continues. You guys playing the auto show this year?
Yes, sir. We play Friday night. And I got to tell you, I can't wait to see the guys. Otis and Mongo, they were pulling for the Falcons. Of course, I was on New England. And, you know, I know Otis has got a lot of friends in Atlanta. Mongo, he was pulling for Atlanta because that's where old wrestlers go to die. So,
you
know,
you go into First Look Friday night, you can see Hamp and the band. All right, buddy. I'll talk to you soon.
Go Bears.
There's no one like your Valentine. Oh, I forgot to ask Hamp if he'd be my Valentine. I can go. This year, treat them to an unforgettable gift that's as unique as they are. It's a gift from Sherry's Berries. Shows her you put thought into finding the perfect gift. Freshly dipped strawberries. These are great strawberries. You know, these are Olympic level strawberries.
What about your other Valentine?
Dave?
He's right here.
That's fine.
Go Cats.
He understands.
I'm not listening.